This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown.
Phases and stages, circles and cycles, and scenes that we've all seen before. Let me tell you some more.
Willie Nelson's landmark album, Phases and Stages, was recorded in 1973, and it was unlike anything being done in Nashville at the time. A concept album about a relationship coming apart. Wasn't ready for radio, that's for sure. Metaphorically speaking, Willie Nelson was separating from Nashville too, where he'd long written songs for others, but where the Nashville machine kept him from doing what he loved to do. His return to Texas was a symbolic break with the conservative conventions of the country music industry. And it's now part of Texas lore that Willie kickstarted an outlaw movement, one that would include Waylon, Jerry Jeff, Guy Clark, Steve Earle, Billy Joe Shaver, and countless others who brought country back to its rebellious roots. Today, the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville opens a new exhibit focusing on the story and influence of that movement. Peter Cooper is a country music journalist, senior lecturer at Vanderbilt University's Blair School of Music, and co-curator of Outlaws and Armadillos, Country's Roaring 70s. Mr. Cooper, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You guys have gathered some of the most amazing memorabilia. Could you tell us about some of this stuff, the door from the general store in Luckenbach?
Yeah, we took their door. There was this creative genius and enthusiast named Hondo Crouch who purchased the place thinking that he was going to make some dough off of the post office. And when he bought it, the government shut down the post office and he had to figure something else out. So he turned the post office into a general store, which included a bar. And he had a dance hall there as well. And Jerry Jeff Walker looked to Hondo Crouch as a kind of father figure and as a creative North Star. And Jerry Jeff decided to make an album there in Luckenbach. Then they were trying to figure out, well, what are we going to call this thing? And somebody looked at the door at the general store where someone had put up a bumper sticker that said Viva Terlingua, which was where a chili cook-off was held.
Yeah.
Terlingua, Texas.
Yeah.
So we've got that door. We've got the Broken Spoke from the Broken Spoke Club.
By the way, it's not just the Broken Spoke from the Broken Spoke Club. Leaning against it is a vintage Bob Wills poster, too.
That's right.
You're just swimming in incredible artifacts. Is that Guy Clark's Randall knife over there?
We have Guy Clark's Randall knife, yes.
Oh, my hand burned for the Randall knife there in the bottom drawer. I found a tear for my father's life. And all that it stood for.
I think that what we're putting on display here is going to surprise and delight people. Maybe when people hear about an exhibit called Outlaws and Armadillos, they're going to think that this is kind of the Waylon and Willie and the Boys. It certainly has Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson items. But it's much deeper than that, and it includes people who were absolutely integral to the history of Texas music and the development of songwriting. I think that there may be some people in Texas that think Nashville was sort of a gray corporate place during the early mid-70s, and that was not the case. We were full of freaks as well.
You know, that runs against the narrative, right? I mean, the whole outlaw story is this idea that Nashville was slick and sugar-fried. And, you know, you had a couple of artists and repertoire men you had people like Chet Atkins, too, who'd oversee the production of 20 artists at a time or so. And the outlaws were kind of regarded, at least here in Texas, as an uprising against all that.
Well, there was a time, especially in the 60s, when Nashville record company men were also the producers, and that there was a system known as the Nashville Sound. Artists would go into the studio, and essentially they were in the passenger seat of their own cars. But you mentioned Chet Atkins. Chet Atkins was one of the greatest guitar players in the history of country music, and was also an RCA producer and executive. And he brought Waylon Jennings to town when Bobby Bear, another Nashville artist who was on RCA, heard Waylon play in Arizona. He called Chet Atkins and said, "You got to hear this guy, and I may be hurting my own career by hipping you to him, but he's the dude, and he deserves a contract." So Chet brought him here.
Been traveling these highways, been doing things my way. It's been making me lonesome, Henry and me.
You know, this is the thing, though. Just as Chet brought Waylon, Waylon wound up bringing in Billy Joe Shaver, putting him on the big stage, if you will. And, of course, Guy Clark, he lived in Tennessee, outside of Nashville, as I recall.
Yeah, he moved to Nashville in 1971.
That's right. That's way early in the movement. People like Towns Van Zandt, Rodney Crowell, who was from Houston, he ends up spending a whole lot of time out there in Nashville. So, yeah, there's the fact that underpins all of this, that these were not parallel universes, as it were. But then there's the mythology, and it's hard not to see the mythology as kind of running away with a sort of a story of its own. There's a reason they called it Outlaw, after all.
Yes, and the mythology is really fun, but the truth is more fun. And the truth is that this entire movement, if we're going to call it a movement, is about creative freedom, and it's about artists living a life of the mind. It's a wonderful thing, and there were so many Nashville people that were traveling to Texas to play and to create, and there were so many Texas people traveling to Nashville to record and create and to play. I initially thought that an appropriate name for this exhibit might be T for Texas, T for Tennessee, which was a song taken from one of Jimmy Rogers' Blue Yodels, and was something that Waylon Jennings sang most nights in concert and sang famously on his incredible live album. The myth that these places were oppositional is interesting, but really not as interesting as the real story, which is what we're trying to tell here.
Deep of Texas, deep of Tennessee.
Peter Cooper is a country music journalist, senior lecturer at Vanderbilt University's Blair School of Music, and co-curator of Outlaws and Armadillos, Country's Roaring 70s. It's at the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville. If you're there, you got to check it out. Mr. Cooper, thank you for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on the Texas Standard. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you, and I love what you guys are doing.
I'd rather drink myself muddy water, sleep all night in a holler log. I'd rather drink a muddy water, sleep all day and night in a holler log, than to hang down and treat like a dirty dog. Whistle.